The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus showed himself to the 11 and said to them, "Go out to the whole world, proclaim the good news to all creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. These are the signs that will be associated with believers. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will have the gift of tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands and be unharmed should they drink deadly poison. They will lay their hands on the sick who will recover." And so the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven. There at the right hand of God, he took his place, while they, going out, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that accompanied it. The Gospel of the Lord. When something dramatic happens in our lives, one thing that we need is time. Time to reflect, time to take it in, time to recover, time to adjust. And today our thinking of the glorification of Jesus is always limited and restricted by our concepts of time and space. I well remember saying to you when one Ascension Day I'd flown over to the Isles of Scilly, and it was quite amazing because as we flew, it was a beautiful, beautiful, clear blue sunny day. As we took off from the helicopter, behind I could see Hale, outside we could see Marazine, of course, there. As we went up, you could see St. Ives and out to Scilly. And it hits you, what you've known in your life, that once you're up, you could see everywhere. It's a reflection that we're always limited. While we are here, we can't see there, as it were. But when the Lord ascends, taking his rightful place, then he was everywhere and can be everywhere. But as I say, that taking time in to what had happened, if we reflect how the events moved so rapidly from Palm Sunday, the cheering crowds welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, the few days teaching there, the crowds listening to him, returning to Bethany each evening, the long teaching that he gave us at the Last Supper that we've had in some of the weekday readings recently, Jesus preparing them, just as we sometimes do get signs of things that may be coming on us, but not always, and the preparing for that, and then during it institute in the Last Supper, then the agony in the garden, the arrest, the trial, the flogging, the change in the crowd as they shout, "Crucify him," the way to Calvary, the agony, the death, burial, and resurrection, and the ascension. Huge lot, body blows to both Jesus, but also the disciples, a whole chain of events. So it's no wonder that the gospel writers, when they get to the Feast of the Ascension, give quite different locations for what happened, all expressing the same belief, but different locations. So if there was a sit-in examination, if it was their SATs coming up, then they might get an honours in theology, but they'd lose in history and geography. Because we've grown up with the idea of 40 days for the ascension, and some of us still prefer that the 40th day after Easter, Thursday last, would still be Ascension Day. But in a sense, the gospel writers give a different time scale, but it's Luke, others that give us this 40 days. Luke, who wrote Acts, that was our first reading. And then next week, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that 50 days, which is all part of the 40, the 50. But 40 years is always significant, 40 days. The people of Israel are in the wilderness 40 years. Elijah flees, fed by the Lord when he was fleeing for his life, for 40 days, sustained by the Lord. was 40 days from the birth of Christ at Christmas to Candlemas, the purification in the temple, 40 days in the wilderness being tempted, the 40 days of Easter that ended Ascension, and the 10 days leading then to the Pentecost. But all this, it's sort of like, it's a period of time, and it's saying you need time to take in, to understand what's going on. Because we know from the resurrection accounts, and I've spoken to it about the body of Jesus, how it was the same and yet it was different. It looked the same, but they didn't always recognize him. He could go through locked doors and windows, and yet he said he was no ghost, and he ate and drank with them. So as I said a few weeks ago, it was his glorified body. And the opening prayer said, where he, the head, has gone before, we, the body, hope to follow. And when we do follow, oh, how glorious and resplendent our fragile bodies will be. But that's part of the great faith that we have as Christian people, that risen and ascended Lord, our head, we hope to follow. So some people like all loose ends tied up and reflects their orderly view of life with a beginning and a middle and an end, having a pattern and a purpose that can be seen and understood, and having a conclusion that ties up all the loose ends, leaving us with a sense of completion and satisfaction. So that, as it were, when the book is finished, there's no more questions to be asked. That can seem how the resurrection and then the ascension, coming of the Holy Spirit, then it's all finished and on we go. But other people have a different way of looking at life and like stories to be open-ended, because they believe that life is like that, with the variety of loose ends and accidental happenings and having a development that can never be fully grasped, nor a tidy ending, because tidiness can never contain either the muddle or the mystery of life. Bishop Christopher was often saying when we were at, usually it was a priest's funeral or maybe deacon's funeral, that when we come on those occasions, there's always a lot of, as it were, unfinished business. As families, we often think, if only we'd done this and that and the other. But the person that's gone too might have wanted to do lots of other things, but that we don't always get those opportunities. So we can see the ascension as either this total completion and the Lord goes up and all's well, God's in his heavens, all right with the world, or we can see that it leaves the story open-ended, which of course it does. So it's not one or the other, because in actual fact, the law does take his rightful place. It is an end, but it's also a beginning, because he's saying to them, just go back, wait, and it's all going to be moving on yet again. That's why when they go back to the city of Jerusalem, they're not full of sadness at the ascension. They were amazed by the resurrection, but not sadness at the ascension. They wait in prayer, which is what he told them to do, which is why we have the 9 days and 9 days novena of prayer for the coming of the Holy Spirit. But as they go back there, then they're told by the angel that we heard the last verse of the first reading, why are you men of Galilee standing there looking into the sky? Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, the same Jesus will come back the same way as you've seen him go. Saying in effect, the show isn't over. The curtain hasn't fallen. The action isn't totally completed. And that's why the Gospel of Mark emphasizes that now it's over to us. Go out to the whole world. Proclaim the good news to all creation. The process still open, still going on. It's why the challenge of 2015 that we face with the risen and ascended Lord, who sends his Spirit to be with us, but the story goes on.